I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. Trees do a lot for a city beyond their beauty. Research shows that they increase property values, reduce crime, and can even boost brain power. Even though on the surface it looks like Boston has lots of trees and green spaces, we're actually behind other cities when it comes to our tree count. My guest, Jeremy Dick, knows a lot about our urban tree scene. He's with the Boston Natural Areas Network. Jeremy Dick, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
So 100,000 trees, that's the goal?
That is the goal, yes.
How are we doing?
We are doing pretty well. We're actually trying to increase the tree canopy in the city of Boston from 29% to 35%.
And so where are we in the progress?
We are roughly 10% of the way at this point.
And, you know, when did it become clear for folks like your group that there was a need to increase the tree canopy, as you call it?
We have noticed that the trees and green spaces are very important for community, and we are interested in planting more.
Okay. Tim DeShant, you're here with me. You're an environmental journalist and author of the blog Per Square Mile. Help us understand why trees are so important in urban areas.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of reasons that trees are really vital to urban areas. One of the things is in the summer, as we're seeing right now with all the heat, is that they provide shade for houses. So that reduces cooling costs. But they also help in the winter, too. They block wind, so that'll reduce your heating costs in the winter. As you said earlier, they increase property values. So obviously everybody would be a fan of that. And then, you know, again, thinking about in the summer, they tend to scrub air pollution. So as stuff, dust gets kicked up or diesel pollution, stuff like that, they kind of act as mini filters to pull some of that out.
I also want you to talk about this recent study that shows there's an impact on income inequality.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily an impact of income inequality, but more of a reflection of income inequality.
Okay.
So I stumbled across a study that was done in 2007 showing a link between income and tree cover. And they showed that for every 1% increase in income, tree cover increased by 1.75% or approximately. And what that says is that areas with higher income obviously have even more trees than areas with less income. And it's something simple. You can take that body of research, use it yourself, and go to Google Maps like I did and see in the satellite view the relative difference between neighborhoods. And again, it's a relative difference because, of course, some areas are going to be richer and still have fewer trees. But if you compare it to an equivalent wealthier area in the same region, you'll see a difference.
So is that that people with more money just seek out trees to live, you know, rats around where they live?
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I think, again, it's the reflection of trees and property values. It's also that wealthier people have more land to plant trees on. They also have more income to plant them and income to maintain them. And the same is true for cities as well.
So Jeremy Dick, who's your head of Boston Natural Areas Network, planting these 100,000 trees, that means that the more trees you plant in the Boston area, that can maybe raise up our overall income equality, if you will, aside from all of the other wonderful things that trees do.
Exactly. We're trying to focus tree plantings in communities of low canopy, as well as communities of low income and up to median income, so we can increase the equitability of the tree plantings.
And that's so that you get the health benefits, as Tim DeShant just said, with the less pollution and the shade and all of that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The health benefits are great. There's also aesthetic values in community building around keeping and maintaining those trees on a neighborhood stewardship model.
So I'm most taken with this new information that more trees enhances the brains of the residents who live in tree-filled communities. Tim, tell me about that.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of research in the past and then quite a bit recently showing about the effects of trees on, again, your capacity to recall information. That was with some of the recent studies. And a lot of that goes back to the thinking that it will increase your attention span in a sense. So people that have taken walks in woods, they take a test before they go on a walk in the woods, then they go on a walk in the woods, and they come back and they take it again. And they tend to do better on the test than people who have taken the same walk going through the city. Walks overall, of course, are better for doing better on these sorts of tests and recall of information. But it turned out that the ones through the wooded areas are even better.
That's kind of amazing.
It is, yeah.
I have to say that's not intuitive. You wouldn't think that a tree can do all that for you.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, you know, obviously as humans we evolved in green spaces, and so it was very easy to kind of slip back into that mindset and feel more at home, even if you didn't necessarily grow up around a lot of trees.
So, Jeremy Dick, and in terms of other cities who are doing the same kind of thing, trying to increase the tree canopy, who's doing it really well right now? Did they come to the conclusion that you all have here in Boston that this was something that just had to be an initiative for the city?
I'm not sure in terms of nationally which cities are doing the best. I think a lot of cities are trying their hardest to increase tree plantings above the levels that they're normally planting year to year. Many cities are realizing that this is the time where trees must be planted to keep ahead of the curve, increase canopy levels.
Jeremy, I am aware of, at least outside of this country, in Kenya, Wangari Maathai did the whole Green Belt movement. She's a Nobel Prize winner in 2004, the first African woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And it was about planting trees. Her whole movement was about getting poor communities to plant seedlings so that they would reduce all the kind of toxicity that came from deforestation and loss of water and all of that. And it mm-hmm. proved to be absolute. The simple thing like that just changed Kenya, big parts of Kenya.
Yeah, it truly is a public health issue. And I think getting more people excited and promoting tree planting more across communities is a great way to get more people involved with the process and improve public health.
Were you aware of course you would be, Tim Deshan, about Wangari's effort, Green Belt Movement?
Yeah, it was. it's a really great story.
Is that something that you can use as ammunition if you need some when you have to talk to... Because, listen, planting trees is a great goal, as she thought of, too, in Kenya, but she had to work with all kinds of government initiatives. She had to figure out a way to pay poor people to do the seedlings, to make it happen. I mean, and Jeremy, I know that you have to get support from the city to plant 100,000 trees. That just doesn't come from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And we're facing a time where cities are making hard choices about what's important. Make the case, Tim, if you will, about why a tree plantings need to be at the top of the list.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of times when it comes down to priorities, people would rather see their pothole filled in front of their house, stuff like that. But they shouldn't forget that trees are also kind of a part of infrastructure. It's easy to see them as kind of a luxury amenity, but in a lot of ways, because of all of these benefits that we see, the health benefits, the energy benefits when it comes to your house, those kinds of things, we really should see them as an infrastructure and something that needs to be kept up and maintained because, as Jeremy well knows, if you don't stay on top of it, it's easy to fall behind. And if we keep losing a small percentage of trees per year, year to year, that's not going to seem like much, but over a long period of time, it's really going to change the character of the city pretty drastically. And I think those of us who live in this area really value the green character of the city.
Well, following up on Tim's comment about if you don't keep up with it, you follow behind, Jeremy, one of the issues here in Boston is that you had some trees dying on you. You're planting them, and then they're dying. What's happening in our area to make that happen?
I think a number of factors are leading to the loss of trees, and I think Boston does have some challenges in terms of, like everyone else, an urban heat island effect. We have poorer soils. We have a lot of fill soils in the city, and aftercare and maintenance is a real problem for some agencies and departments to keep trees alive has been a challenge in recent years.
So you plant them and then you ask agencies to, I don't know, water them? I don't know how it works.
Depending on, with the plantings that we're engaged in, depending on the landowner, we are using community involvement for stewardship. We're using department and agency involvement for stewardship. So that's aftercare, watering, pruning, and just general keeping up with mulching and making sure the trees are getting the benefits they need.
I assume that Jeremy Dick of the Boston Natural Areas Network, that you know what kind of trees need to go in the porous soil, so it's not that, right?
Yep, we are making some. Definitely, we're pairing trees the best we can in terms of the situations we're putting them into, and we have some great trees that can withstand the urban challenges they have.
So I'd like both of you to comment on New York City. I heard an interesting discussion earlier this week, as I wasn't even thinking about you guys coming on, but this is what happened, about how in the last 10 years under Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the green space in New York has been not only shaped but increased exponentially and in really inventive ways. I'm thinking about the High Line Park. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think it shows that, you know, Mayor Bloomberg is a businessman first and foremost. And so he understands the value of these things and how things like planting trees or creating a park kind of in somewhere unique like the High Line can really reinvigorate a neighborhood. And that'll raise property values and attract tenants and businesses and stuff like that. And so I think by focusing on that, he's addressing what's kind of classically been seen as one of New York City's shortfalls. And in making up for that, he's making it a more attractive place to live. So that might be, you know, helping attract businesses and residents who might have fled to the suburbs stay in New York City.
That's my guest, Tim DeShant. He's an environmental journalist and runs the blog Per Square Mile. We're talking about the advantages of increasing the green space, particularly the tree canopy, as my experts say today. So, Jeremy Dick, what do you think about how New York has progressed in doing this?
Boston Natural Areas Network is actually a green space organization. We preserve and protect green spaces, and I think we're very encouraged by what New York has done, and we're trying to do the same in Boston, which is promote more green space and the use of green space in different ways. And I think incorporating trees within integrated landscapes of shrubs and perennials brings a lot more interest to sites and does bring in more people, make them more user-friendly, and also brings nature into the city.
Now, here's what we know from the New York experience and I think also from the Boston experience. People don't just come to the parks in that area. They come from across the city to the parks, to the green space to enjoy it. I mean, that's certainly been the case with this new, because everybody's coming to see the High Line. But even with the other beautiful parks in New York and in Boston, which were designed by our own Frederick Law Olmsted, it has an impact citywide whether or not the space is actually adjacent to your community. That's a great thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to have flagship parks like that that draw people from different parts of the city and then from around the world. But it's also key to remember that people need to have accessible green space in their neighborhood. And it's difficult to also remember that, you know, a lot of times we've inherited parks and we treat them as something that's been around for a long time. But as population densities increase and different parts of the city get revitalized that hadn't been residential before, it's important to add parks to those spaces so people still have that same access.
What kind of response are people I mean, we know that, you know, as I said, cities and states have to make certain kind of hard decisions about where the money is going to go. But when you just talk to folk, if they have to make a choice about a park space that is just offers greenery, even if it's small, Jeremy Dick, in their neighborhood, is that high on their list of what they want to see in their neighborhood?
I think the people that we are working with, definitely. I think people really value green spaces, whether it's a community garden or a community, just a sitting park. Having a park very close by to your home is of great value to people.
And those skeptics who might say, hey, park, no park, that didn't matter to me, have you seen them change their minds?
I think in my history here in Boston, I think I've definitely seen some people come around to our way of thinking that green space is a good thing.
And now that we are, I'm saying we Americans in terms of our culture, really have embraced environmentalism on many other levels, this seems to me to be a most basic one. Do you think this is going to get more attention, Tim DeShant, in the next couple of years?
I sure hope so. It's kind of that idea of thinking local. A lot of environmental issues these days, like climate change, are kind of, you know, worldwide and hard to get a handle on. But there's a lot of ways that parks can play a role in that and then also play a role in boosting the, I guess, the environmental image of an area, too, and on a very local scale.
And how long did that walk have to be for me to be smarter at the end? Just curious.
This one was particularly long, I'd say. But it could be as short as 5-10 minutes. You know, it's just those simple things that you need to take a break to restore yourself.
All right. I guess I'll go out with Jeremy Dick and for 5 minutes and get smarter.
That'd be great.
Thank you both for a great conversation. I've been talking about Boston's plans to plant 100,000 trees with Jeremy Dick of the Boston Natural Areas Network and eco journalist Tim DeShant. You can find a link to his blog, Per Square Mile, on our website. I'm Callie Crossley. Thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Please Please join us tomorrow from noon to 2. Our show is a production of WGBH 89.7.